So anyway, I'm Kevin Rose. I'm Tavares. You're watching The Random Show. We are basically weird guys. Cheers. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to my house.
By day, if you don't aren't familiar with me because you're coming in through one of Tim's links, I'm an investor at Google Ventures. I invest in early stage startups mostly in the tech world of consumer internet, things that are exciting and new. And you, right?
I have written a couple of books, all of which have titles that sound like infomercials, For Our Work Week, For Our Body, For Our Chef, and also early stage tech investor in companies like Uber, Evernote, TaskRabbit, about 30 in total.
Sweet. So we basically get together and shoot these shows. You can find them on the YouTubes if you type in The Random Show. We basically chat about random topics. So, you know, both of us are doing a fair amount of traveling, seeing really cool ideas, new startups, you name it. We've talked about everything from language learning to getting scammed in China when we were out there. We totally got scammed, to supplements, to all kinds of stuff, man. Yeah. Like, there's nothing off limits here on the show. So,
No script ahead of time. So
yeah,
what you'll be hearing will be new for us as well.
There's no paper on the table. Yep. We're just randomly talking about random shit. So, yeah. What is there to talk about today? I have a few things, but anything that jumps out at you is like things you want to talk about?
Well, we were just having dinner before this, and you were going to show me an app that you're particularly excited about and that you thought I would enjoy.
Oh.
So maybe you can show me that.
Yes. I'm getting all these tags. People are watching you now. Are you on the TV?
Someone just asked about your top five apps.
My phone just locked up. So I'm a Googler, but I still use an iPhone. And some people are saying that I got all these people basically saying that I'd sold out and use an Android phone. I have an Android phone, but I still use the iPhone. Anyway, the app of the day that I want to talk about is called Pop, P-O-P. And once that focuses on the screen, there we go. I'm going to swipe through the tutorial. So what it's telling you, I'll basically give everyone the quick little overview. I like to build apps, and if you're out there and you're watching this video, you're probably techie if you're coming in from one of my links. And building apps involves basically a few different things. One, you sit down and you kind of spec out the app. And typically, you know, I see entrepreneurs do it different ways. Sometimes they write out at least a list of features. Sometimes they start sketching immediately and go right into kind of drawing the application, how it will function, wireframing. There's a handful of prototyping tools out there. I found this tool and I thought it was pretty useful because what it does is it allows you to draw sketches. So you take a pad of paper. I use graph paper.
Yeah, Dungeons and Dragons stuff.
Exactly. And I sketch out the app. So I'll do okay, this is the splash screen, this is the first screen, this is what this button does. I'll draw arrows to it. And once you've done that, you use this app and you take a picture of your drawings.
That's cool.
And then you can link up the different buttons to link to each individual page. So essentially you can build a fake prototype on here. Mm-hmm. So it looks like a sketch. It's your sketch.
That's cool.
It's pictures that all link to each other. So this is great for a couple of reasons. One, if you're like me and you are not really a designer, you're more of a product person where you like to spec out and actually just create the wireframes, but you don't actually have the wherewithal to go in Photoshop and actually create the final mocks, I use something like this to explain the functionality, explain what I'm trying to get across and what I'm trying to build, and then pass this on to the designer who then actually goes and designs the application, then hands it off to the developer, then goes and codes the entire back end for it. So if you still like sketching on pen and paper, pencil and paper, this is a fun app. You can sketch it all out, link it up, and actually get kind of a feel for what you're about to build before you build it, which actually saves you a lot of time. Sometimes you click around and you're like, oh, that doesn't feel right, that doesn't function right, and then you can go and redesign it. Hmm. And there's not that time of actually having to code it and then go back. You know what I mean? And then it takes a long time.
Up front.
Right, exactly. The only thing you're investing up front is erasing with an eraser and then redrawing it and retaking that photo, which is nice. So I like the app. It's free. Check it out. Pop.
So a question about the top five. I'll share one of my favorite apps. It's called The Cat in the Hat Comes Back.
That's not an app. That's a book.
Okay.
Did you really not know that?
I'm analog. No, I have some apps. In terms of top five apps, I'll just name a couple that I use all the time.
Yeah.
Evernote, Uber, I use both almost every day. TaskRabbit, I'm involved in all three companies, so full disclosure with that. But I tend to use products first and then become involved with companies. Lyft is another, but there's one you introduced me to for scanning documents and sending them as PDFs.
Jotnot,
and then also like Scanner Pro or something.
Yeah, Scanner Pro, yep.
That's it, Scanner Pro, which I found really useful. This is separate. I'm just bringing it up because I bought this recently at a bookshop, and I think they're called bookstores in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to read the first page here. This is a good reminder, I think. As it's very easy to get caught up with trying to keep up with the Joneses and whatnot.
So it says, this was no time for play. This was no time for fun. Why are you making me read this? This was no time for games. There was work to be done.
Right. So it's about a very, very serious group of kids who have to shovel for their father and then get saved by the Cat in the Hat.
Okay. Is this going someplace? Or is this like a favorite book of yours?
It has nothing to do with apps. No, this is a reminder that I actually put on my desk that I bought about 2 weeks ago. And that is a TV behind us also. So we are operating full disclosure. That
there's
is
a TV in his house.
Tim's a weird dude. Yeah, I got battle axes. People haven't seen the battle axes. We are going to digress.
Dude, this is the most random show we've had. I love it.
Everyone wants to know what the TP is.
The TP was a gift from my girlfriend. This is a throwing axe. It's actually modeled after a door-opening axe that was used in Vietnam. Very good for throwing. Made of carbon alloy. So I enjoy throwing axes. But the TP is for chilling in, and you can like have tea. It also looks kind of cool, but you can like have tea and chill out and meditate in there.
You actually have a couple of meditation pads inside of it.
Yeah.
You know the funny thing about this axe is I made a joke even before we started. Wow, this is really lightweight. That Tim has like a killing weapon within 5 feet. So like any direction that you go in his house, there's like something to kill. Something.
Should I show them the crazy one?
No, don't. Okay. On TV.
All right.
On the internet.
But yeah.
Firearms.
Yeah, here we go. So no, back to apps. You mentioned one. What are some of your other favorites?
So I mean, I don't have a ton of anything new. Like I feel like all the stuff that everybody knows all the apps that I have.
Okay, well then let's.
Yeah, I don't have anything that really. I like
books.
This new app, Sold. That's interesting. Sold. It allows you to take pictures of electronics around your house, and they go and sell it for you. They send you a box, and you throw all the stuff in there. Fun game, Zombie. Zombie Road Trip. It's a fun game. Anyway, I don't have anything exciting. Books. I have a book, but you go ahead. Bitcoin.
Go ahead and start with you. Happening over here.
I'm going to get the book.
Oh, all right. Well, one of the books that I've really been enjoying, I'm only about 3/4 of the way through it, is an audiobook, in fact, called Jacked, The Outlaw Story of Grand Theft Auto. And it's about the development of Grand Theft Auto and Rockstar Games. So it's basically a tutorial on the economics and development of the entire gaming industry, but highlighting this particular franchise of GTA, which I thought was fascinating. So I've been listening to that. Let's see it.
The book?
Yeah.
Well, I'll let you finish first.
I'm done, man. Grand Theft Auto.
I do want to check that out. Do they have an audiobook or no?
That's what I'm listening to.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I'm an audible person. Yeah. So I have to plug this book. I know it's going to seem self-serving, but I got you a signed copy.
Darius, you're a good man. Darius is watching.
I don't have a signed copy.
So, and there's a sticker in here, too. How awesome is that?
Oh, look at this.
So, my wife has written a book, and I know that you all are thinking, like, he's plugging his wife, but it's an awesome book, and it's going to help save a lot of people's lives. So, it's called Foodist. Essentially, to give you the quick little overview, and I'm really going to fuck it up because I know she's watching, and that would really be crappy. But essentially, she's a neuroscientist by training, so she has her PhD in neuroscience. And the thing I like about what she does is that she is technical, meaning that she goes in and reads like all the published papers, like the stuff that the average user cannot understand. And so what I mean is like all this, when scientists actually publish a paper about how food impacts your health, like it's very technical, right? I mean, you've seen these two journals that they publish too. It's like the average person just can't really wade through all that stuff. So the thing that I like is that you know, when I talk to Daria, she's always saying how doctors are like, you know, 3 to 5 years behind everyone else when it comes to their knowledge of what actually is healthy for us and what is like the current stuff. Like the scientists are the ones actually creating the experiments and breaking the news. Like they have like the most recent data. So she represents a lot of that here. She also gives you some hacks that you can use for creating lasting habits, mm-hmm. Which I think is really important. So her thing is like it's not really a diet. It's all about how can you create lasting habits in your mind that will change you long term. So not just about the fad, like how do I get skinny in 30 days, but how can I use these mind hacks that will then turn into lasting habits, which turn into like lifelong health and living an awesome life. So anyway, plug for my wife's book. It is an awesome book. It's published by HarperCollins. She's got some great plugs on the back from Mr. Tim Ferriss, Jamie Oliver, Dr. Andrew Weil, like some great folks. So awesome book in bookstores now. Buddhist.com.
Yeah, and we actually did a blog post. So Daria, I took an excerpt of the book. I read an advanced copy to get feedback and to also get a feel for the content. And one thing that's impressed me about Daria from the outset, actually, in fact, first reason I started following Daria on Twitter prior to you ever meeting her,
right? That's
is
funny.
Because of her neuroscience background, and she's worked with some of the top neuroscience labs in the country. She has a very clear understanding of the heart science, so how the hypothalamus regulates A, B, C, D, and E, and the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex mediates behaviors D, E, and F, but she can also translate that into very simple, easy decisions related to food that are enjoyable, number one, and effective. So the blog post that she put up on my blog, which is just a four-hour blog, as in 4 hours, so FOURHOUR, blog.com, was about how she got her father to change his behavior so he could lose fat and recompose his body, which is a very challenging problem for a lot of people. They might be able to go to the gym themselves, go on a diet themselves, but when it comes to their loved ones, the people who most need help, they're the least likely to accept that help.
Yeah, no doubt.
So how do you address that problem?
It was a great
piece. So if you search and Daria, or Foodist for that matter, on my blog, you'll bring up that guest post.
Yeah, it's like it's something that hits home for me because like my father passed away from heart disease, and you know, watching her dad have a cane and like really being in bad shape to going and transforming his life into something where he doesn't no longer uses his cane, a lot better shape, eats a lot healthier, like it's been pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So anyway, enough of the plugging family books. But I'm proud of her for creating that.
Thanks for the signed copy, Daria.
So let's talk about, you have some supplement on here. What is this all about?
Well, you know, you were mentioning that your little rundown so, earlier today.
One of the things I like to do is every time I come over to Tim's house, like this dude is like, if you've ever read For Our Body, like you'll know that he's into like hacking and like getting buff and like, you know, the stuff that guys want, like right. Six-pack abs, all that other stuff. And so I'm always going through your, like, supplement drawer. Like, he has, like, this big shelf of all kinds of supplements and stuff. So I saw this, and I, like, pulled it out, and I was like, what's this for? And then you were like, singing its praises. So.
Yeah, so this is a very simple staple. And I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on the internet. But if you are looking to improve your immune function or if you feel the onset of cold or something like that, depends, obviously, if it's bacterial, viral, et cetera, but a lysine is very, very useful.
So how did you learn about this? Like, how did you even...
I look at... L-lysine came about, actually, from strength coaches. It may have been Charles Poliquin. It could have been someone else. A number of guys I've gotten to know over time. Immune function relates to recovery very closely. So if you're stressing yourself in athletic training, then you need to optimize immune function to optimize recovery and recovery time, which allows you to cram in more training cycles mesocycles or whatever prior to actual game day. So
L-lysine is always the stuff that I see bundled with protein, right?
L-lysine
is that the amino acid that like they always say is like it helps you recover quicker and like you're
probably thinking
bit.
Of leucine.
Leucine, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
L-E-U-C-I-N-E.
Okay, I'm thinking of it.
And branched chain amino acids, which I also have. Very fast way to improve recovery and also just muscle synthesis is with the branched chain amino acids.
Okay.
So you can take, let's say, 8 to 12 grams 30 minutes prior to resistance training. Kramer's done some interesting, Kramer, not from Seinfeld, but I think it's actually A-E-M-E-R. L-lysine, 6 grams is what I take, so 2 grams per divided dose for preventing sickness or getting over sickness more quickly. So I found it to be much more effective than, say, echinacea, which is very popular, or any of these sort of more mainstream products. And so this, I thought, we've already had 2 glasses of wine at dinner. We're having more wine. We feel a little run down. Maybe we should have some lysine with some water. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Stop by like having it right now?
Voila. We just had, because, I mean, you don't have to have any, I will, because this is nothing.
Can I have my own water? It's like,
dude, right.
Backwashing.
Mainly used to prevent her.
Yeah, I suppose if you're taking L-lysine and getting all the backlash.
Some guy in the chat just said L-lysine is used to prevent herpes. Did you know that?
Yeah, antiviral.
Oh, really?
Really.
So in case there's a herp going around tonight, he's fine.
Yeah, it's antiviral. It has antiviral properties. As does, as a side note, grapeseed extract. So GSE, or grapeseed extract, is very effective. This came about in looking at cleaning agents in the 4-Hour Chef. So I was looking at alcohol versus something's going on. Alcohol versus, say, bleach versus these other agents. And grapeseed extract is very effective for killing different bacterial strains, viruses, E. coli, etc. So I actually will travel with that if I go to a place like India or eat something questionable. I will take, let's say, 6 to 8 drops of grapeseed extract.
Dude, tell everybody what happened to you in India.
Oh my God, it was a mess. So this was prior to using the grapeseed extract. We went to a nice hotel and had
you and your girlfriend.
My girlfriend and I had fish that was tainted in some fashion, whether it was from
did you taste like the taint on the fish?
It didn't taste it on the fish, but like ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Rose. fish taint.
I didn't mean that. Chris. Well,
I didn't look that closely, but
it was Ganges fish, right?
It was Ganges, yeah. When you have something that's off, pretty quickly thereafter or while you're having it, you know something's off. You know what I mean, though? You're eating and you're like,
yeah, totally.
Something's not
I feel that way like once a week, though. I'll be in my fridge and I'll be like having some milk or like some crab or something, and I'm just like,
Some crab taint. And so we, the long story short, we ended up in the ER in Calcutta, India for 4 or 5 days. With
4 or 5 days in, checked into the ER.
Checked into the ER with
fluids or?
Intravenous antibiotics, and had I do not recommend it. Had some very, very terrifying experiences where they continually, because the shift changed very often, and you would have people who spoke, say, Hindi, then Tamil, then something else, and the staff weren't communicating between shifts. So my girlfriend and I are both allergic to different types of antibiotics and drugs, and they're trying to inject her repeatedly with things that would have potentially killed her.
Oh,
so I had to, and she was delirious. We both had very, very high temperatures, so I had to stay up the entire time. Like any time anyone came into the room, I had to like wake up and watch what they were doing and make sure that they weren't killing either of us. So it was a stressful experience. I don't recommend it. So travel with grapeseed extract, and preventatively or preemptively, if you eat something that tastes a little funny, have some grapeseed extract. GSE, you can get it on Amazon. It's easy.
Crazy.
So those are 2 drugs. Lots more where that came from.
That's insane.
I'll show something else.
Yeah.
You fill up some space. I'm going to show. I'll show another kind of fascinating thing that I got from a lab.
All right. So while he's going to the lab. I don't really have anything to talk about, Tim.
Do you care about the?
Let's do some questions.
Do you care about the hockey game? It's in double overtime.
I don't care about the hockey game. Hockey's.
Yeah.
I'm going to answer.
Do you have Chromebook Pixel?
Yeah, I have the Chromebook Pixel. So, you know what's funny? Well, before you get into that.
Yeah.
He's pulled out a whole thing of like 20 drugs. You know what's funny? The craziest thing happened when I joined Google. Everybody thinks I've like sold out. And so all I get, if I ever tweet anything pro-Google, people like give me so much shit. They're just like, you sold out, blah, blah, Google's paying you to say that. And it's like, Google's not paying me to say anything. Anyway, I got the Chromebook Pixel,
Daria is paying.
Thank you. She's paying it.
Well, Google is.
I got the Chromebook Pixel. They are paying me like a paycheck, but not to like say this. And I tweeted out like, "Oh, Chromebook Pixel, pretty cool. I like it." And people were like, "Oh, I can't believe you'd say that. It sucks." It's, listen, the Chromebook Pixel is. Have you seen this thing?
No.
It's a really thin laptop. It's about the size of the Air.
Mm-hmm.
It runs the Chrome OS. And it's not that expensive. I mean, I guess
it's like
it is.
$1,300, $1,400.
It's a higher resolution display than the Retina displays, yep. Right? It's touchscreen. Anyway, I will say hardware-wise, meaning the screen, the OS is beautiful.
Just
it
the
seems
feel.
The feel. It's solid. The OS is really lightweight and beautiful. That said, I'm on a Mac right now, and I won't go to a Chromebook. Because they just don't have the applications. Like, if you all you're doing, you actually said it best. So Chris here got one as well, secretly for free, which is awesome. You did, because he wouldn't buy one. And he said, it's my laying in bed, like, laptop, like, I'm about to go
it's
to
like
bed.
It's like an iPad.
And it's like an iPad. I just want to surf the web, blah, blah, blah. I will say, hardware-wise, it's awesome. The OS doesn't have the applications that I would want. It only has, like, Chrome plugins and Chrome applications, so it is not going to be my day-to-day laptop. But I like where they're going with it. I generally think that like they have great. Obviously, on the engineering side, it's very impressive. The OS is very lightweight and nice. It's all based on web standards. Like it's pretty awesome. It's not overtaking my day-to-day. Like this is all I'm carrying around.
No.
But I don't know. Anyway, that's all I have to say about
that.
Makes
you want a Retina MacBook Air.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to get the Retina MacBook Air when they announce it in a few days. But anyway, I thought I'd just say that because everyone was thinking that I switched, and I didn't switch to Android. I didn't switch to the Chromebook. I think they're making great advances, and I'm excited, but I'm not there yet. I'm still an Apple fanboy. So.
I've been thinking more about Android, though, and which is hard to do living in a place like San Francisco, quite frankly.
Because everyone has iPhones?
That's right, because it creates the illusion in this technology community that everyone is on iOS, but I was a bit, for those people interested in venture capital, and there are a lot of ways we could frame this conversation, but there are a number of firms that come out with annual letters or presentations. So Kleiner Perkins has, I think it's like 120
like annual report.
Slide annual report on the state of technology. And Mary Meeker's quite smart, and it was compiled primarily by her, but looking at the distribution, or I should say percentage penetration into the mobile market, bad tape. Android versus iOS is really eye-opening, just to see how prevalent Android is.
Sure.
It's extremely widespread.
Yeah, well, the thing is, what's interesting is like I meet with a lot of different startups, and one in particular that I don't want to disclose who they are, but they have, you know, 15 million plus users. Met with them a few days ago. And they essentially told me that Android has almost surpassed their mobile-only app. Android has almost surpassed their iOS installs. But the thing that's tricky and where it's hard for developers to make that switch, because right now when you meet a startup, I've never met a startup that has started with Android. I've yet to meet one that's saying, you know what?
Unless they're international. Some of them do.
I haven't met with one. So I'm just saying, like, of the companies that I've met with, they always start with iOS. And the reason they do that is because the money is in iOS. Yeah. The people that have, like, it makes sense. Like, Apple devices cost more money.
Yeah.
Like, you typically dealing with, like, a slightly higher demographic that has a little bit more extra
disposable income.
And so when it comes to, like, you know, either purchasing an application or, you know, in-app purchases, things like that, you're still, like, Android isn't quite there yet. Android has the masses, they just don't happen to have the masses that have a lot of disposable income yet. I mean, it's changing over time. But that's part of the big driver why I still don't think that people are going Android first, they're still going iOS first, because the dollars are still in iOS. So,
yeah.
Anyway, it is what it is.
So speaking of mobile, startups, et cetera, any particular startups that you're excited about these days?
Well, let's talk about Bitcoin for a second, because that's one where I haven't done an investment. I hate to
Where's the shirt from?
I just bought it on like freaking eBay or something.
You bought a Bitcoin shirt on eBay.
Well, I did.
Along with your Daft Punk helmet.
Exactly. I wish I had a Def Leppard combo. Those are cool.
They're expensive.
Do they really make them?
There's an entire cottage industry for imitation Daft Punk helmets. I have no idea. There are people making full-time income creating replicas of Daft Punk.
Yeah, that's got
to
be
selling it for like $2 to $3 grand a pop.
I think that's my. I won't spend that much, but that's my Halloween costume this year. Maybe I'll do like a jank poor man's Daft Punk helmet or something.
Like cardboard box.
Cardboard box with some LEDs.
Some Sharpie.
Sharpie
illustrations.
What were we talking about?
Startups.
Bitcoin. So, thanks. You know,
that was a good single one.
So, here's my take on Bitcoin. I own a handful of coins. Not a crazy investment for me. Like it's very like in my kind of like Vegas. I'm going to Vegas. I might lose it all. Kind of pot. Yeah. I did an investment through Google Ventures in a company called OpenCoin. OpenCoin is creating another currency called Ripple, but it's also compatible with Bitcoin in that it can wrap and transport Bitcoin. It's kind of hard to explain, but the thing is that I don't know where this is going, and I don't know that I actually have, like, I mean, obviously I have a bet in OpenCoin, and I hope that they win, but, like, I feel like just as a technologist, like, if you close your eyes and open them up 10 years from now, Will there be a decentralized digital currency, potentially anonymous, that is replacing like a paper currency? And, like, I believe that the answer is yes there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that Bitcoin is clearly the kind of like, you know, the first mover advantage. They own the market that they're being used for in a lot of different, like, you know, kind of semi-legal cases where people don't want to be traced for what they're purchasing, things like that.
Or illegal.
But I feel like it makes sense, right? Like, if you're going to start a currency from the ground up, like a brand new currency, would you make like a government-backed, like a fiat, like a currency that is based on and controlled by some government, or would you make a completely open-source, decentralized currency? And I think, you know, the thing that gets me excited is, like, think about all the emerging markets. Think about, like, all the smartphones that are coming online. You know, in Africa right now, there's this third-party payment system that happens all via SMS. Have you heard about this?
No.
So, essentially, what's the name?
M-Pesa.
M-Pesa.
It's been around for years.
Yeah, it's been around for years. And essentially, I haven't been there. Chris, you've been there, though, yep. Right? Everyone pays with their mobile phone.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're buying something, you, like, text, like, you know, a few pennies, whatever it may be, as payment, and the person receives it, and they just give you the goods, and that's how it works. Like, there's no paper exchange, right?
But you want to buy M-Pesa, you go to, like, a guy, and you're like, hey, I'll give you $5, and he'll, like, credit your account.
Yeah, they'll credit your
phone.
Like,
people...
It's like phone credit.
It's decentralized, and it links in with all the utility companies and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so basically, you know, that is, like, the first signal in my brain where it's like, wow, imagine you have... You're sitting there, you're kind of a third world country, you have two choices here. This is like 10 years from now, 5 years from now. You can either go and create your own currency, have your own set of banks, deal with all that bullshit, or you realize that everyone has Android devices, like everyone's online, and you can adopt Bitcoin or something like that as your currency. Like, that's where it gets interesting, because all of a sudden you have some big countries eventually coming online using Bitcoin. I'm talking like when it's a lot easier to use and it's not some weird like hex digit that you have to remember and send, like when applications and the market matures a little bit and the like Android devices are everywhere, that's where I think there'll be some kind of crazy tipping point where it could be a real thing.
Well, let me just play devil's advocate here. Why would a provider like
M-Pesa,
why would M-Pesa use or embrace Bitcoin that can be used for illicit activities as opposed to a digitized version of, say, the dollar, which is unpegged to gold as it stands right now?
Yeah, but the dollar pegged to gold is BS. There's not enough gold to back up the number of dollars we have outstanding right now.
There isn't, but conceptually speaking, it could be pegged to a certain ratio to gold. This is actually in a current recent issue of Forbes magazine that I thought was very interesting, meaning even if you lack the physical reserves, from a practical standpoint, you could peg the dollar to a certain exchange ratio with gold, and the government then disallows variance beyond a certain standard deviation past that ratio. There's a good book. I know very little about Bitcoin, in fairness. There are a couple of people, though, I respect tremendously on both sides. So I know a couple of guys related to the Federal Reserve and a couple of other places who are like, Bitcoin is bullshit. Let me tell you why. And then I know technologists here who I have a very high level of respect for who say, this is the most important thing to happen, potentially, since the internet. And from that vantage point, it would make sense, on one hand, to certainly not put all of your chips, so to speak, into Bitcoin, but as a bet that could be a ridiculous, like, you know, 100x, 100+x.
Well, that's the whole thing. That's what I'm doing right now.
Then why not?
I look at Bitcoin and I say, you know, I don't need to invest in any Bitcoin startups, although I might through Google Ventures down the road. But I think, like, okay, personally, if I believe Bitcoin is going to be a big thing, why not just buy a chunk of the currency and just sit on it? Think of it like as gold or anything else that you just want to stash away, and it's that rainy day fund that, you know, if it does 50x in 10 years from now, that's amazing, right? That'll be an awesome return.
Well, it's optionality, right? I mean,
right.
It's like an option.
Yeah, it's totally an option. So the thing that's exciting to me, though...
So why did you get Bitcoin share? I'm still very curious.
Because I bought some Bitcoins, and I was like, might as well freaking...
Like, they were like,
screw the man. Like,
they had an upsell. It was like,
no, I just,
buy $2,000 more Bitcoin.
Here's why I bought it. Like, getting real for a second, and...
Because it looks like a dollar sign.
And not to like, I don't like to get into politics because, you know, there's people that are Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever.
You live in San Francisco.
I live in San Francisco. You know where I stand. No, seriously, though, the thing is that what I want to say is that I hate the fact that, like, our dollar, you know, it's so tied to the United States government. And it makes sense, but, like, you know, they can issue more currency whenever they want.
Yeah.
And so I just like the idea of something that isn't tied to a government,
yeah,
that is free of all that. I'm not an economist. You know, I took like one course in college. Like, I shouldn't even be on this. I shouldn't even have this microphone. But I'm just saying, like, I like the idea of change, and especially one that is like, decouples currency, yeah, from wars. It decouples currency from, you know, like all these people that have other, you know, agendas in, yeah, mind. And I don't know that ultimately this might all blow up and it might be for nothing, but like I'm in supportive of that general nature of thinking.
Yeah. No, you know? I mean, from an idealist perspective.
We've had wine for those just tuning in. Yeah, we have had wine.
I mean,
we should put that in the lower third at the bottom of it.
From an ideological, that's better, ideological perspective. If you're coming from, let's say, a more libertarian angle, which, you know, someone like Peter Thiel probably would, and it's, there are investments that you make purely for financial return, and then there are investments that you make because you want to support either a cause,
sure,
or hedge against something else. There's a book, I actually have a pre-release copy here that I read very, very early on that I would recommend people read. You want to educate yourself, on currency in general. It's really fascinating because I didn't know anything about the subject, called The Biography of a Dollar. And it's about the history of the U.S. dollar. And you learn a lot about currency in general and the concrete and illusory nature of currency. Just how quickly can it evaporate like that? And it's been fascinating for me to travel to places like Argentina. It's like in 2001. Massive devaluation, they lock the banks. You can't take any money out because our currency is out of control. And
right.
They go from the Paris of South America to fucking completely broke. And,
yeah.
And
I mean, that's the whole thing. That's part of what I'm trying to say is, like, you know, you look at what Greece has done to the euro, and they're talking about kicking Greece out of the euro for a while. And it's like, these governments, they can just pull down a currency. And it's a, I don't know, I like.
You know,
I'd like to think something like that is immune to it. So.
You know, I had short positions in terms of credit default swaps, and I just, it was mistimed.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know.
Talk about your drugs that you have sitting on the table.
Oh, yeah, so drugs. Let's talk about drugs.
Is there any water?
We'll get some water. You want to go fill this up?
I don't want to drink out of the thing that you put your lips all over.
No, don't worry. He doesn't have herpes. He took the
I don't have herpes. I don't have herpes. I took a lysate. All right, so let me give a little intro to this package of goodies. So one of my buddies was struggling with what to get me for my birthday at one point. And I get this nondescript sort of brown paper bag gift in the mail, and it's full of drugs, of course. So that includes a number of things. And again, I'm not recommending you use any of these things. Some of them are prescription medications in other countries. But I thought I would just point out a few of the cocktails in this bag of goodies that I have here. So let's see. Let me not start with that. I'll start with
what you're showing on the internet.
No, I know.
This is going out there.
I know. It's fine. It's not mine. I never use these things. They were sent to me, and I don't do anything with them. I just
want
them
all open.
My cat has dementia.
I have no idea what you're about to show. So what is this stuff?
Yeah. So this is Notropil, also known as, well, that's the brand name for generically what would be called Brassatam. Brassatam is the granddaddy, the old sort of pioneer in the class of Racetams. And so this would be one.
What does that even mean?
Paracetam actually has a few mechanisms of action. A lot of it is related to the cholinergic system. So these are all smart drugs. So if I didn't mention that, now I'm mentioning it. Paracetam
what
is the
that, like, give me, like, what am I looking at here? What, if I take this, what happens? If I swallow two pills in 30 minutes,
Paracetam, you will not feel much. Is a short answer.
Okay.
No. Hold the fuck on. Jesus. Did you get your water? Where's the water?
I got on water.
You got a mug. You should get another glass. Bottle of wine, maybe. So let me explain how this functions. All right. So we have...
Explain why your buddy sent you these. He's like, he wants you to try them out. He's like, this is some stuff
He knows that I obsess on physical and mental performance.
Oh, okay.
So he sent me a number.
Now this makes
this one you'll know. So Paracetam, let's put that aside. This is brand name Alertec. This is apparently manufactured probably in France or, nope, Quebec. So this is Alertec Modafinil. You know Modafinil.
Hmm.
Modafinil is sold also as Provigil.
I've heard of Beretta.
Very popular among tech CEOs and people that we know. It allows you to go 2 or 3 days without sleep if you want to push it.
This is the stuff people use before they give talks.
Yeah,
I know this stuff.
Yeah. So this gives me a piercing migraine, which feels like someone stuck an ice pick in my brain. However, it does help or has helped me get past a certain writer's block in specific instances. I never use this stuff, though.
It's like 5 cups of coffee kind of thing. Like people describe it as being really
yeah, but with no, you don't have a crash, but here's the issue. Even the people who developed this drug are not clear exactly on the mechanisms, biochemical mechanisms of action of the drug itself. They're like, it works. We don't know why.
Or the long-term implications.
Or certainly the long-term implications.
Isn't this the one that astronauts used? There was one drug like this that astronauts would use when they needed to focus.
Oh, like Dexedrine, back in the day. Dexedrine, methamphetamine.
That, actually.
Modafinil is a relatively new invention.
Okay.
So Provigil has then been modified, and there is something called Nuvigil on the market. If I'm going to use one of the two, I would use Modafinil, but I tend not to use it.
Did you hear about that drug that, I'm not even making this up, you can
talk it out?
The female drug? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
So this is like legit real stuff here.
Crocodile.
I think I saw
shit in the Soviet Union. Don't take it.
No, I think I saw it. I think I saw it on Dig.
Yeah.
Basically, there's this drug that they are like in clinical trials right now. The FDA hasn't approved it, and it's like the female version of Viagra.
Okay.
And they literally said it works too well, and they're worried. And the quote, this is not me speaking. You can look it up on the internet. Like, the quote was that they were worried it would turn women into, like nymphos, like totally addicted to sex.
Got
like, apparently, like, you take one pill, like, not us, but, like, a female, and it's just, like, it's on. Like, it's like they are, like, totally...
Wait, what's it called?
I don't know. It was, like, CA-175, I guess. I'm, like,
what happens if a guy takes it?
I don't know.
Is it Librido? Librido?
That is the worst thing I've ever heard.
No, it's
in clinical trials, new drug, hybrid.
Oh.
It's like for women, the pink Viagra.
The pink Viagra, maybe that's
right.
It. Yeah,
that sounds
right. Anyway,
right.
It's crazy. It's speaking of like your drugs, anyway, keep going.
Yeah, this just makes
me... Why are you showing off your entire like medicine cabinet? What's the...
Oh, this isn't 1% of what I have. I just thought it would be fun to do. This is Anacervix. So this is Vincamine. So Vincamine, or Vincabina, this is obviously made in South America somewhere. was Barcelona, Spain, excuse me. So vincamine is also known as vincositine, vinca minor extract, combined with grass tank. This is superior. All right, so vincamine or vincositine.
Can you say again what is it for?
Yes, I can tell you. So vincositine has an effect on glucose metabolism in the brain, microcirculation, and oxygen transport specific to the cerebral cortex. So it improves cognition. It's used for dementia and other things in Europe in some applications.
So, okay, hold on.
Yes.
Someone doesn't have dementia. What happens if they get prescribed this and they tell you? Like, what's the... So, first of all, for my viewers tuning in, he wrote The 4-Hour Body, which is all about body hacks. And so if you're wondering why he's so into this stuff,
yeah. It's
because you'll see in his book. He basically tests all this stuff.
I try everything so you guys don't have to. That's
so what does that do? Like, let's say you take a pill, like, what happens?
Improves memory, reaction speed, recall, recognition.
So I could, like, go to a party and, like, I'll remember everyone's name?
It's not quite that. It's not quite that binary, but it would improve that, yes.
Huh.
I don't have...
You take it?
I have it in my bathroom. I don't use this stuff very regularly. I view every drug as having, and this is not original to me, but a direct correlation between effect and side effect. So you have desired effect, say improved cognition, and then you have an equally strong amplitude or high amplitude of side effect, whether you can identify it or not. That's why modafinil kind of scares me, quite frankly.
Interesting.
There are a bunch of stuff I could cover. I'll just talk about a couple of these. So hydrogen is very fascinating to me. This is from Novartis, so this is a very well-known biotech company. And hydrogen was developed by the inventor of LSD. But this is specifically for addressing dementia and other neurological diseases or degenerative diseases associated with mental decline. This is really interesting stuff. I prefer this to piracetam. It's also very, very well researched.
So what does that do when you take it?
It's a lot, all these things are kind of the same.
I mean, is it kind of like you just like, you know, you read a book and now you're like, oh, I'm just absorbing that so much faster. Like,
yes.
What's is that?
Yeah, yeah. That's the gist.
That's pretty cool.
All right, so this is just like a short intro.
For the people watching this, 691 of them.
Oh, yeah.
Can any of them, like, what can we buy? What can you buy on, like at GNC?
You can get zero of these at GNC. You can get all of them on the internet. Follow your federal and local regulations and laws. Don't be a dumbass about it. But this you can get online, and it's not restricted. Demiurge, this is very cool. This is phenylparacetam. So this, you might recall, I mentioned paracetam, which is the granddaddy, kind of the old timey like Mustang of smart drugs. If this is the Mustang of smart drugs, this is the Lamborghini of smart drugs in the racetam family.
I think everyone would agree that a Lamborghini is faster.
Yeah.
Better vehicle.
Yeah.
Right. Especially in the last, like,
a little less ground clearance, though, which is also similar to this. This has 20 to 30 times the stimulant effect of racetam. Very popular with biathletes, so people who are then skiing and doing marksmanship. Also decreases increases cold tolerance, oddly enough. So phenylparacetam, very, very cool stuff. Any of these, you should be extremely cautious about combining with stimulants like caffeine. It will magnify the effect. The last one, and then I'm done, and I could do this all night, but I won't, is... what's that? Oh, all right. This is a combination of two over-the-counter supplements. It's very, very, very strong. Before I get into this, a preface is, a drug is a drug is a drug. So just because something is, let's say, bought in GNC as opposed to prescribed by a doctor as opposed to being illegal, does not indicate that it is either safe nor effective nor anything else. You can get very powerful drugs at GNC, but they call them supplements. So be forewarned, but this is
foreskin.
Foreskin,
is it?
Foreskin.
Foreskin.
Sorry. It's all right. Plus.
Sorry, keep going.
This guy, you can't control this.
Listen,
guy.
I'm here.
Can't
for...
take him anywhere. So artichoke extract. Artichoke extract combined with Forslin has an incredible effect. has an incredible cognitive effect. I've actually had it more effective than
and these you can buy jeans
than Modafinil. Yeah, you can get these anywhere.
Huh.
I'm using specifically this is Now brand artichoke extract, and then I'm using Solaray brand Forslin specifically because I can combine 1-to-1 ratio, 1 pill, 1 pill after doing all the mathematics. This is a stack that was developed by,
I don't know, is it a stimulant?
Chris, if you can help me confirm this, Abelard Lindsay.
Is this a stimulant? Is this like something where like you shouldn't take caffeine with it?
You shouldn't take caffeine with this.
Is it super hardcore? Like, am I going to be bouncing at the walls?
No, you won't feel like bouncing at the walls.
Will you give me two of these? Like, this is like, I take this home with me and try it tomorrow?
Sure.
I'm just curious, like, if it gives you super, like, focus.
You will need to sleep, though, 12 hours per day. It takes a lot out of you.
I don't want to do that.
I'm going home.
No, but wait a second. So you're saying that, like, by the time I
get it, it has a, like, substrate tax. You expend a lot
during the day when you're on it.
Yeah.
You're, like, super focused, super on it.
And that night, you will really need to sleep.
You can just crank out a ton of work and stuff like that.
You can absolutely crank out a lot of work, but at the end of the day, in my personal experience, you're going to need 11, 12 hours.
Tax my immune system?
I don't know.
I don't want to do this anymore. So you want to know? It sounded hardcore. I don't, well, I mean, give it to Chris. I'll take it.
There you go, Chris.
So this is...
I'm just like... Okay.
He just doesn't go for it.
All right, so that's it on the smart drugs, guys. I love talking about this stuff.
Smart
I
drugs, is, I mean, it's fascinating. It's fascinating stuff. Granted, 90% of what you showed us is like prescription only. It's not like you're going to go to your doctor and be like, you know, I just need to be a little bit smarter. Can I get some a drop of foreskin?
I am not going to advise nor condone nor take affiliate links for any smart drugs. Although, you know what? There is something over the counter, actually.
What?
That I've been playing around with called Alpha Brain, which is manufactured by a company called Onnit Labs. And it's pretty good. It's pretty damn good. I just sent it out to a bunch of folks via quarterly, in fact. Speaking of startups, we've kind of got off track with that. Not that we have to be on track. But so, you were talking about an undisclosed startup that has 15 million users. What other startups are you into these days?
Should I get some more wine? We got some up there, yeah? It's done. I'm done. I'm not having more. I think we're going to like wrap it up soon.
Embarrassing.
But I don't have any other things that really jump out at me. Stuff that we haven't talked about in the past. I think we've talked about pretty much everything.
Cozy's
interesting. Yeah. So Cozy was something that we both actually they're announcing tomorrow.
Yeah,
see that? I don't know if I'm about to say that.
Well, you already did.
Sorry, I even said live. Cozy is doing interesting things in the next 24 to 36 hours.
Anyway, check out Cozy in 24 hours. It'll be interesting. If you're a landlord and you
or
need
a renter.
Yeah, well you can already go there, cozy.co, cozy.co. If you're a landlord or renter, they're doing some cool stuff. So
it's awesome.
Big announcement tomorrow.
All right, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Do you have anything else to talk about?
I would like to mention.
We have questions. Let's get to like minutes of questions.
No, no. Let's do like
10 minutes.
You're good. You can blame it.
It's 9:40.
I know.
My wife's
home. Oh,
she's
don't.
Sick.
You can't.
She had a cold.
Oh, don't pull the
wife. I want to get her some like freaking.
You can give her some
lifesaver.
A lifesaver. She's online. Ask Daria if it's okay.
You don't have to ask. Okay.
Can Kevin stay out a little bit longer?
Let's go. It's good to see
Daria, at Kevin. No.
Let's do some questions.
Although, yeah, quarterly.co, another one I'm super excited about. Check it out.
I did see it a while ago, but you have a package on there that you do.
Yeah, I have a package. Every 3 months I send out one box of physical obsessions that I have found through all of my experts and whatnot, including smart drugs.
Thanks.
Nice.
All right, questions. Let's do it.
Yeah, we got
WWDC predictions.
WWDC predictions. Apple's developers conference next week. I'm predicting a new MacBook Air. New iOS. I don't want to say anything. I'm getting some people in trouble. I don't want to get in people in trouble. I heard that the new next iOS is very different. It's very different.
Posting lots of pictures of flat design.
Well, they've been posting pictures of Flat Design, but they haven't like shown off the OS yet. So, from someone that I know, the next version of iOS, I was told, is a big change. Like, it's not just like, hey, we're doing a little like update, fixing some bugs, and there's a couple of things. Apparently, like, things have moved around. Apparently, when you swipe certain ways, there's different things happening now than there was before. A lot of stuff has changed. So I'll just leave it at that. I'm excited. We'll see what happens. I have no comments. What else?
They want to hear about intermittent fasting.
Intermittent fasting.
Okay, I can talk about that. Intermittent fasting, I think, has some fantastic applications. You can certainly take the simple route and do 16-8.
Let's talk about what it is first.
Like, yeah, intermittent fasting is exactly what it sounds like, which is fasting typically
16 hours.
Anywhere from 16 to 24 hours at a stretch in an effort to improve fat loss, typically, or any type of different metabolic conditions.
So I'll give an example. I tried this actually for a couple weeks, and
I have a lot of colors. But yeah,
so I tried this for a couple weeks, probably, I don't know, 8 months ago, something like that, just to see what it was all about. I'm always curious about this stuff like he is. And essentially what I did is after I finished my meal at night, so let's just say it's 8 o'clock, I finished dinner, I would open up my iPhone and I would go into the clock settings and I would set the timer for 16 hours and I would hit start. And then I cannot eat another piece of food. You can drink coffee and you can drink tea, but you can't have any food for 16 hours. Do that for a week, I lost 7 pounds. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
Like everything else, you can just eat the same. Obviously, you don't like go crazy and gorge yourself, but like you don't really change anything else. It's just that you fast for 16 hours, go back on. People sometimes go up to 18 hours. And yeah, type in into YouTube, Fasting Twins, if like you're into working out. These guys, the Fasting Twins, they're really funny as hell. They're also called the Hodge Twins.
Those guys are hilarious.
They're all about intermittent fasting, and they have a whole channel on intermittent fasting.
Oh my God.
If you want to learn more, they're like super buff dudes, but they're really funny as hell.
They're identical twins.
They're identical twins. Fasting Twins, check them out. It's funny, funny shit. Like you will laugh.
All right, so on intermittent fasting, there's a couple of points. The first is, if you're looking to lose, let's say, 5 to 7 pounds a week, you can do it with quite a few diets. You don't have to do it with fasting. This is one option where you don't have to change the composition of what you consume. You're simply changing the timing of when you consume. And there are a few caveats. Number one, I have found intermittent fasting, per se, work just as well when you cheat slightly, taking a greens powder, like Athletic Greens, for instance. I have no financial interest in the company. Like Athletic Greens plus branched-chain amino acids. So
why you're fasting?
Yeah. So you can cheat, and basically as your meal, you're taking 8 to 12 grams of branched-chain amino acids plus a greens powder.
As a breakfast?
Breakfast or whenever you have to fast.
No, that's not fasting.
That's why I said per se. The point being that this is my second point, and that is that people get, they become grumpy motherfuckers when they do intermittent fasting. It's just the way it is.
Not for 16 hours.
A lot of people do. They get really, really grumpy. All right.
Well, it's not that hard. You basically stop eating at 7 and like you eat at like noon.
I'm just saying it's common. Not necessarily for Kevin, not necessarily for you, for a lot of people. The last point I will say, and I've experimented with it quite a lot. I mean, I'm a fan, but the other point I would make is that I know from very good sources, and in some cases direct sources, that a lot of the proponents of intermittent fasting, or IF as it's often referred to, use both massive amounts of stimulants and anabolics. So if you're taking Dianabol, for instance, an oral anabolic, which is known for appetite suppressant properties, and you're using massive doses of stimulants, including caffeine or things that are a lot harder than that, it's difficult to take your experience and recommendations and then translate someone who's not using those drugs.
Hmm.
But it's kind of cool to experiment with. Do you need it to lose fat? No, I don't think so. But it is for people who don't want to change the composition of what they're eating or make decisions related to changing diet, yeah, it's worth playing around with, definitely. Okay, what else? What else?
People want to know about MSG.
MSG.
Can you use MSG while on a fat loss regimen?
Monsanto Glutamate? So Daria, I mean, my wife has done research on MSG. Go to summertomato.com and check out, do their search on MSG. She's looked at the actual published studies and doesn't think it's as bad as people make it out to be.
Yeah, you know. All right.
I have nothing else to say other than that.
Yeah, isolated from Japanese seaweed by a Japanese researcher named Ikeda, who then formed a company called Ajinomoto, which is the source of flavor, literally. Ajinomoto.
I know all this, dude. That was a random ass question.
Fucking smart pills.
It's the smart pills, dude. He's taken like 7 of those tonight.
I didn't take any.
You're like Wikipedia up in here, like freaking. That was a random question. You're like, oh, the manufacturer uses seaweed and compresses it with salt.
I read a lot. So MSG, monosodium glutamate, or the essence of that compound, is found naturally occurring in quite a few sources. So if you look at, let's say, the crystals outside of, I don't know, focus up, Parmigiano Reggiano cheese.
Hmm.
It's MSG. It's MSG. Pure MSG, naturally occurring. The crystals on the outside of that cheese. I have found, personally, I eat at a few restaurants very regularly, one of which is a Thai restaurant, and I found out that I noticed that when I ate there for between 7 to 14 days, my rate of fat loss slowed or I gained fat. And I couldn't identify why, because I wasn't consuming any starch. And when I asked them to remove any MSG that they were adding, that problem ceased to exist.
Crazy.
That's an N of one. That's a subject size of one. But
go on here, freaking 3-hour body.
3-hour body. I'm skinny as shit, man. I tore my LCL doing fucking Rubber Guard and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, being a dumbass. Not to say that Rubber Guard isn't cool for you BJJ guys. It's great if you have really sturdy knees. I just don't have
Rubber Guard?
Yeah. All right. UFC, guard, like you jump up and wrap your legs around the dude and then like triangle choke him or armbar him. Rubber Guard, specifically rubber guard. Mission control, that position, for you guys who know what the hell I'm talking about, it's bad for your knees. Great position. But
demonstrating.
I'm not demonstrating Rubber Guard tonight on the show.
Yeah, so I fucked up my knee. I haven't been training. I mean, right now, like anything in terms of fitness that I have is all diet related for 3 to 4 weeks. All diet. All
right, let's do 2 more questions. You have to have more than
no. I have 100. People want to know if you know your Myers-Briggs types.
I don't know what that is.
I know what I've been told my Myers-Briggs type
is. That?
Myers-Briggs is a personality test.
I didn't
has those like introvert, extrovert.
People end up being like ENTJ.
I have been told I'm an INTJ. I don't even know what that means. What is it? It's introvert. And I don't know what that is. T, I don't know. And then judgmental, like judger.
Judging. Yeah, I don't know them all.
I've been told I'm an INTJ.
Huh.
Alright, that was a quick one, so let's do 2 more. Couple more.
Here's some good ones.
Everybody's asking about Dave Nation.
That's a different stuff.
I know.
Let's come back at some point. Like one thing or two.
What do you use to store and archive photos?
Store and archive photos.
And I'll add to this. People are asking, like, your lives are busy. How do you organize life? So how do you organize content?
Yeah.
Day, life, photos.
So, all right. So, you know, how do you organize life? How do you archive photos? I always assume that everything is going to go to hell and my house is going to burn down and I'm going to lose everything. So I tend to back up everything I do. So basically, I work like this. One, I use some software called Backblaze, which Backblaze is like $3 a month or something. They back up your entire hard drive and just store it remotely. It's awesome. I have multiple devices on there.
I use Backblaze as well.
It backs everything up and it just stores all your photos. I have... that is like pretty much how I back up everything. Everything else, like all of the photos I take with my iPhone are stored on iCloud. I also use Google Plus because I use Google Plus per se. I do check it every once in a while. I use it because they have the photo backup feature. So like if you install Google Plus, one of the nice benefits of having Google Plus installed is they archive all of your photos for you when you're on Wi-Fi.
Same
and so like I just basically use Dropbox because you have to pay for it. So, no, so here's the problem with Dropbox. Here's the problem with Dropbox. Dropbox had that hack like a year and a half ago where anyone could type in like a blank password and log into anyone's account. I'm not cool with that. Like, yeah. That sucks, right?
Google's secure.
So I trust Google security. Like, I know their security team is insane. So I paid the like $100 a year or whatever, and I have 2-factor auth on my Gmail account. I have freaking...
That's really important, guys. Just as a side note, you need to step on the authentication on your Gmail.
Yeah, and on your Evernote as well. They just enabled that last week. I don't know if you saw that. Yeah. So then everything else I do, like all of my documents, I scan in and I save them to Evernote. So like everything, like when it comes to like, I just got my marriage certificate a few weeks ago, I scan that in. Passports, IDs, like everything that's important, tax forms, you name it, stored all to Evernote. Turn on 2-factor auth so it's secured by a special number. And then that's pretty much about it. That's how, like, but I make sure everything now is in the cloud for me. Are you kind of the same way?
I think I have apocalyptic scenarios all the time. So I have Backblaze. I do use Backblaze. I use Dropbox. I use Time Machine. I have local
Machine.
You have a hard drive in here?
I have a hard drive.
Really?
Yep.
What if someone breaks and steals that shit? That's what my concern.
They won't get away.
Or hacks into your Wi-Fi.
I don't even talk about your Wi-Fi.
Oh, Jesus. We'll come back to that other time.
Yeah.
So, all right.
His Wi-Fi is easy to hack.
Oh, fuck, dude.
No one knows where you live. Peace, you're on drugs.
No, I'm just kidding. So, what the fuck was I saying? Oh, yeah. And then photos, so my trick with photos, I don't take a lot of photos. I take trips with people who take a lot of photos.
Have people that take your photos.
No, man, that's not what I mean. Shit. What I mean is I love going on trips or doing things like that with people who take better photos than I would.
Like Matt Mullen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know.
He takes fucking great photos. He's like, photos. Yeah, so I will, whenever possible, do something like that. Otherwise, I don't take a ton of photos. If I do take photographs, I put everything in Evernote.
That's even true. Your photos?
Yeah, I put a lot of my photos in Evernote. Because I'll take photos of, like, you know, this
wine bottle.
Yeah, I'll take a photograph of this bottle of wine.
Oh, dude, speaking of
which. And then, like, cartograph, all the text becomes searchable in Evernote, which is very helpful to me. So that's the other reason why I scan documents into Evernote. So all my tax notices from, like, my accounts or whatever, I scan all that stuff in so I don't have to put them in folders. I can just search.
So I'm going to talk about one other app that you mentioned, taking photos of the wine glass. So I use this app. I just got turned on to it a couple weeks ago. It's called Delectable. And essentially what it does, and like don't take this as some like freaking fancy thing to do. If you're ever at a dinner and you like have a bottle of wine and you're like, that's an awesome bottle of wine, you can take a photo of it. And then it will recognize that bottle of wine and like send it back to you so you can buy it instantly.
Yeah.
And then it shares it with your friends too, so you can see like what other wine you're trying. And it doesn't have to be expensive wine; it can be any wine.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's just fun. It's fun to laugh to like if you're ever because oftentimes when you drink wine, you like don't remember the wine. You're like, you know, obviously been having wine, so it's just easy to snap a shot of it and to save it. So check that app out.
Quick wine tip: if you have a Trader Joe's. A Trader Joe's near you, go to Trader Joe's. Their wine stockists are really, really, really good at recommending wine. I've never been so impressed. They're really outstanding. I mean, one of the best white wines I've ever had, and I'm no master sommelier or anything else, but I've had a fair amount of wine. One of the best white wines I've ever had was $4 a bottle from Trader Joe's.
Wow.
And it was spec'd out by the guy that I spent like 20 minutes talking to in the store. So if you have a chance, I would recommend it.
Last question.
Yeah, last question.
Last one is any fun travel?
Any fun travel coming
up? Summer plans.
I'm going to Amsterdam on Tuesday of next week. Tuesday through Sunday. I'm taking the wifey and we're going to go out there.
See the tulips.
We're going to see the tulips. Mm-hmm. And apparently they have a great coffee culture. I'm serious. There's good coffee there. No, seriously though, we're gonna go to Amsterdam and just have fun. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful city.
It is great, really calming. The canals and the coffee. let's see. I don't have too much international coming up. I mean, I've just finished a lot of international with Ethiopia and and Buenos Aires and so on, but headed to Toronto for an event called Ignite, so you can check that out.
Oh, I'm going to Founders in Dublin in October. So the Founders Conference, and also the Web Summit, right?
Yes, Dublin Web Summit.
Web Summit, so if you're going to come out to that, come say hi. I'm going to be at that, speaking at that as well. So,
I love San Francisco, which you would never know by the amount that I travel outside of San Francisco. But I'd actually like to spend more time in the Bay Area. So my exploration would be in the general Bay Area. There's so much here. If you've never been to the Bay Area, Northern California, honestly, do yourself a favor. Come here.
He's got a teepee if you want to, like, crash.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's right there.
I have a couch and a teepee. It's on Airbnb. Teepee.
Nice. All right. I think we are done for this episode. I'm going to spin the wheel so we get a couple of random. Hold on. Let's see. Spinning the wheel. Whoa, put it on me.
Nice.
That's amazing.
That was good.
Hold on. Is it? Oh, it's back on me. Let me get out of the picture here.
Oh, wow. We did a beard transfer.
Spinning the wheel. This is the. This is the Google Hangouts birthday. It's a birthday. Spinning the wheel again. That's disturbing. All right. So that is it for this edition of The Random Show. I'm Kevin Rose.
I'm Tim Burris.
Thanks for watching, guys. See you soon.
See ya.